back, everybody, to the newest episode of Not Enough Wrestling. We got the Phoenix and we got the Supervisor. And, of course, Matt the All-Star Jones. We are the Faction of Satisfaction. And tonight, we're going to talk about NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. Give our thoughts on what we thought on the pay-per-view itself, the matches. But before we get into that, the Phoenix never got to give her thoughts on the Rumble that happened all the way back in January. Which wasn't that too far ago, maybe like 2 weeks ago. So she never gave her thoughts on the winners of the Rumble. So we would like to hear her thoughts, starting with Belair. How do you feel about Belair winning the Rumble?
She came in number 3 and she killed it. Like, when it comes to the Rumble, I normally pick like a top 5. So it's like out of these 5, if either one of them win, then I'm gonna be happy. But when Bianca won, because she was like my first pick, I was like, I was ecstatic. I was super happy. Like, she's been in and out, you know, as far as appearance wise, but she's a really good athlete and I really believe she deserves it. She's gonna do really good when it comes to WrestleMania. I don't know who she's gonna choose, but it's gonna be a fight to get that belt though.
Well, I think we all think she's gonna go after the SmackDown title.
I think so too, because that's the show she's on, but you know how they like to anticipate the drama, so.
Yeah. Now, I told the Supervisor before, I think she could always go back to NXT because that's the one belt she never won.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's not to say. Let me say it's not the only one belt, but she never won it before she got moved up.
Never won a belt. But why would you go back to NXT to just win that belt when you can go win the SmackDown or Raw belt, too?
Right. Or you could just move up to the Raw roster and – well, back to the Raw roster anyway and go after Asuka. Like, either way, if she goes back to NXT, I think I'll be slightly disappointed only because you've been there and done that. Like, it's time to move on to bigger and better things, especially with this opportunity that you won. Like, it's definitely, like, something you should take a big, big, like, risk with your career on, not just go back to where you came from. Like, oh, let me do what I haven't done back here instead of doing something you haven't done to move forward.
I mean, she could always win it, forfeit it like, you know, Keith Lee, and then go back up to the main roster and work her way back. I mean, I don't know. I'm just giving you different scenarios of what she could possibly do. Now, I think she's more than likely going to go after the SmackDown title if Sasha Banks is still a champion at the time, which
right.
I don't know if that's the highest possibility because it'd be two faces going at each other, which isn't that big of a deal. But you got to have that kind of good guy, bad guy deal going on. And most times in WrestleMania, it's a good guy versus bad guy thing because that creates a story that they can write. It's the easiest story they can write. But to put two good guys against each other and they just go out in the spirit of competition, yeah, I don't know how the writers are going to feel about that. But, you know, we'll see. Now, let me get your thoughts on Edge winning the Rumble.
Oh, my God. He came in number 1. Oh, my God. I don't think that's ever physically been done in the history of the Royal Rumble, somebody coming in number 1. People won from number 2, but I think he is the very first superstar to win from the number 1 position in the Royal Rumble.
Anthony, maybe you can answer that. I think somebody did come in number 1.
He's actually the 3rd person to win from the number 1 spot.
The 3rd? Okay, because I didn't know.
So who was – okay, yeah. Who's number 1? The first one was –
number 1 – the first person was Shawn Michaels.
I thought they mentioned him and said he was from the second position.
The second time he won. He won from the second position.
Gotcha.
And they then, were talking about – yeah, and then the other one is Chris Benoit.
That's why they didn't mention it.
Mm-hmm. Usually when they go over it, they say when they do the Rumble by the numbers, it's usually phrased in some way as the number 1 spot is considered the most unlucky spot. But Shawn Michaels and another has won from this spot. Like, they refuse to say his name.
Yeah. But I was ecstatic. One, that was his, like, return of return, because the first return he came back for a while and then he got put out due to another injury. So you return again and you demolish the Royal Rumble. I'm talking about, like, all literally, like, he can actually say he went through 29 other superstars. He probably had his hands on just about everybody that entered that ring at some point in time, and you were able to come out on top. Like, that was a very awesome Royal Rumble. When I'm telling you, I watched it 2 days in a row, like the day it was on, and then the next day I watched it again, the two Royal Rumble matches, just to like soak all of that in. Like, it was awesome. I ain't gonna lie, I loved it. I loved both the winners, both performances, both Royal Rumbles. It was awesome.
Well, I'm not, me and Anthony talked about this. I wasn't ecstatic about Edge winning. Just from the point of view of, this would be the reason why WWE would never move forward, is because they continue to pick up older talent, because they, to me, they feel they don't trust their younger talent enough to go out there and fill seats that's going to be empty anyways, more than likely because they're still dealing with the pandemic. Now,
well, that, and if you think about it, everybody that's on the show currently, we've seen them go up against everybody. Like, it's been a 6 month battle between this person and that person. So everybody that's already on the show or was in the Rumble that wasn't a guest appearance was somebody we've already seen fight somebody else already. So it's like they wanted to make something different, something we haven't seen in the last 6 to 7 months or
well,
a year.
We haven't,
granted, Edge, what?
We haven't seen Reigns go against Big E, which was what I thought they were going to do.
Well, yeah, but they're both champions now, so why make them go up against each other until one of them don't have a belt?
That's a good storyline, because Big E, you can make Big E the Universal Champion and IC Champion. There's never been a Universal and an IC Champion at the same time. Or he could have dropped the belt before WrestleMania to somebody else and go in and win WrestleMania and win the Universal title.
With the Universal title being so new, there's a lot that it hasn't done yet. So it's like they can go on all those aspects and try to figure it out. But at the time, they just don't have that many superstars to be doing that.
They got plenty of superstars. They just choose not to use them.
Right. Like, I seen a article the other day telling some Vince don't have nothing for Aleister Black. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm walking out my job like, why? Like, he's an awesome wrestler. Like, he has great potential to be a champion, but you don't have a spot for him? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
They ain't got a spot for him because they still mad at him.
Exactly, because of what his wife did.
Right.
He's pissed off with them. It's not that. It's a two-way street. They're running in a head-on-head. It's a one-way street, and they're running a head-on collision.
Aleister Black won't come back to work because of what they did.
Wife. And so now they're taking it out of him. Like, you're still on the contract. Yeah, but you fired my wife. Like, you expect me just come back to work like a regular individual? Like, I'm like, just release me, bro. I don't plan on coming back anytime soon.
Which for me is a really big disappointment. Like, I'm gonna be honest. What did your wife, your wife barely even wrestled? Like, I get it was based off of her comments and that she shouldn't have been fired over her comments, but she was more of a talker. She was more just like a time filler. Like, she really wasn't, even when she did wrestle, it was like, I know you're going to lose. Like, it's not that you're a bad wrestler. You're just not somebody they're putting on the main roster right now. Like, you're just a time filler right now. They just stay the time filler. But at the same time, Aleister Black, like, he's one of the reasons why I even started watching NXT, because people used to tell me about it all the time, but I'm all right. But I watched the match between Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream. That's what got me watching NXT.
He's not meant for the main roster. Like, his character, his persona is he's not meant for the main roster. There's a lot of people that they brought up to the main roster that should have never left NXT.
Yeah.
He has the NXT feel all the way around. Like, nothing about Raw or SmackDown feels like Aleister Black. Like, I would never like put him on the main roster just because his demeanor and his gimmick does not fit that role.
I mean, there's like one or two people that I wouldn't mind seeing him fight on the main roster. But at the same time, him going back to NXT right now would also be a really, really nice change. For me, because one, is back. Pete Dunne is back. And even though he's going after the Prince, For the belt, I still think that him and Aleister Black would have a really good match. Even, actually, all three of them. Make it a triple threat, okay? Like, just throw them all in the ring together. I mean, I want to see how that turns
out. You could, if he went back to NXT, you could do Finn Balor versus Aleister Black.
Yeah. That would be a nice match, too, because that's not something
that would be a good match.
You know what I'm saying? He just does not fit the main roster. So they can say whatever they want to say. We all know the real reason. He's not coming back because of what they did to his wife. I think he's just waiting on his contract until they finally release him, and then he's gonna dip.
Right. He's gonna end up on that other wrestling show.
AEW.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's waiting on, and like, no matter what they say to him, he's gonna be in a breach of contract, but he doesn't care at this point.
No.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, originally, you still have Big E they could have used to win the Rumble. Daniel Bryan you could have used to win the Rumble to go against, because he hasn't fought Roman Reigns since like 2015 or something like that. And this is a different Roman Reigns. So I expect the matches to be different, because now we have a different, you have a good guy, Roman Reigns, you know, a bad guy, Roman Reigns, or a heel versus a face, Daniel Bryan. And back then when they first fought, it was both of them being faced, but they were just fighting for number one contender spot. Now all the stories could be different. See what I'm saying? Like, there's different matchups that they have not done on that big main show that they could do now. But like I said before, even if you didn't pick Big E, there's some other people on the Raw roster that you could have picked. I'm saying that, but I can't think of any names at the top of my head right now. But I know there's somebody in that main roster, on the Raw roster, that you could have taken and to go against Drew McIntyre moving forward. You know, Sheamus could have been one of them.
Right.
Sheamus could be somebody, because we all been waiting for Sheamus to go against Drew anyways. So,
right,
why not that? You know what I'm saying? But you give, the whole point is you give somebody like Edge that opportunity, and that to me, you're snatching away from somebody who's going to be there moving forward.
Right. But see, the thing is, like, so I think I'm honestly thinking, like, as much cash as he's talking, I really think they're going to do the same thing like they did, like Goldberg. You bring Goldberg back for 2 weeks. And for him to fight Drew McIntyre, and it's like, okay, I remember when he came back and fought Brock Lesnar, like that was a back and forth thing for a while. But I knew when he came back to fight Drew McIntyre that he was gonna lose. Like, why even? Just why? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no point of even making that match, because it wasn't even as good as I expected it to be. But the commentator said it before I could even get to say it myself. If the match lasts longer than 7 to 8 minutes, Goldberg's going to lose. Like, I doubt that he's sitting in his, you know, everyday regular home life and actually in the gym training and working out to just randomly pop up at wrestling to have a match with somebody like Drew McIntyre. So it's like, why even have that match? It was pointless. So at the end of the day, they're utilizing Edge now to make some drama, of course, with him and Roman Reigns. 9 times out of 10, because Roman Reigns is the only one going back and forth with him, that's who he's probably going to fight, and it's going to be a situation where he loses.
But you don't want it to be so predictable. Like, okay, Edge is there to help build Roman Reigns. Like, I got to feel like somebody may have a chance. I mean, I feel like Edge could have a chance of winning.
Edge ain't there to build Roman Reigns. I wouldn't be surprised if Edge is the one who beats Roman Reigns
or helps. What's the name? Beat Roman Reigns.
Right, you gotta remember, they're about the story. They don't care about the new talent. They're about the story. The story is Edge has returned.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't fulfill that story last year because he torn his pec or his bicep during the greatest wrestling match ever.
Right.
So they couldn't fulfill that story last year. So now he's back. So now the story is he's back from another injury, an injury that sidelined him over a year. Came in number one at the Royal Rumble, outlasted 29 other men.
Yeah.
Is now the number one contender and now has the right to choose whoever he wants. He's creating the storyline that because things have changed since he's been gone, these are people who are all somebody he wants to face that he never thought he would get the chance to face.
And not only that, they didn't have the TVs, the visual of the fans. They didn't have people there. It was an empty arena. So why do it now when you have, you know, that image of people actually being there?
And then on top of that, he's warning each and every champion. And he's telling them what they're doing wrong as champions.
Yep. I mean, honestly, that's the story. But
right, but that's the story. That's what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah,
they don't care about the new people because they don't have a story developed for them yet. Edge's injury was a natural born story. People missed him. He was a big superstar back in the day. Mm-hmm. Now it's his last chance to do everything because he knows the next time he's out, it's probably going to be the last time he's out.
I mean, with his age and the fact of the amount of injuries and the type of injuries he's had, yeah, if he gets hurt again, that's it. He's done. He's not gonna be able to come back.
He's not young anymore.
No,
but so everything's on borrowed time now.
They are trying to bring back the image of the young Edge, though. So, like, you know, the manipulations that he used to do, the trickery, the games. Like, you're trying to bring make people envision the young Edge, but you like, I can't see the young Edge looking at this Edge because his face, he's always scruffy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looks older, so you can't, no matter what you try to do, he looks like an older Edge. It's that simple. You know, it's just simple like that.
Yeah, but like I said, that's other story you could have written for other wrestlers. Like, you know, Biggie,
why? They haven't written it for them yet. Why would they start now?
Right.
Because this would be the perfect time to show that you're trying to move forward with younger talent. But hey, you know what? I'm not the one that said I'm the now forever, the present, now present, whatever their motto is. I didn't want to say that. They said that. So they need to prove their point that forever means that they're going to continuously build. In my opinion, what that means is you can continually build the younger talent so WWE will last forever because it will have somebody to look forward to. You know?
Yeah.
What you're saying is not wrong. But what you keep forgetting is that's not what they're trying to do.
I know that's not what they're trying to do, but I'm saying so
it's the same. It's a moot point because that's not what they're trying to do. They just want to tell the story.
Yeah.
They don't care who they get over. Now without fans, they control the whole narrative.
They care about ratings, what keeps the people watching.
Right. They control the narrative now. You know, at least with live fans, if somebody was getting over, the fans would cheer no matter what.
Yep.
Now they control the cheers in the booth.
Yeah. Which sucks because it's like, you know, regardless of whether people are doing that at home or not, it's not like
right.
Like, just stop. Like,
it's not the same. It's not the same.
It's not. The chants you can tell are all old chants because you can tell it's a crowd-like chant and you can't through the TV screens.
Right. And they're just, it doesn't match up correctly where live fans would always match the cadence of whatever the wrestler is doing. But, you know, the fans aren't there to get somebody over regardless of what the company wants. Then the company can say, it's like, if I want this person cheered, I'm going to pipe the cheers in now, and it's how I want it. So there's no direct feedback like there was in the past.
Right.
I hear what you guys are saying. I'm just not happy duckling. I'm just going to believe it that way.
No, but I completely understand. I feel exactly what you're saying. Like, you want them to utilize more opportunities, more, you know, storylines that we haven't already seen. All we can do is hope.
Yeah.
Now, this just came to my mind, and it's the fact that NXT is going to do another developmental show, which we originally thought NXT was supposed to be the developmental stage, which it was at one point. You know, they would go to NXT, start there, then move on to the main roster. Now NXT's looking to do another show to essentially build the developments to the main roster. If that makes any sense to y'all.
So basically they're going to be is going to be a show of watching people train to start the main roster or start at NXT and work their way up to the main roster.
It's essentially they're going to go. It's another NXT show to show the newer talent before they get moved over to NXT. After they do, they run an NXT, then they get moved over to the main roster.
Right. Interesting.
So it's supposed to be called NXT Evolve, but we don't know. The name could change. It's like that they fought that company Evolve. And so I guess they're just going to take the name Evolve, but keep the name and just put NXT over it. So that was an article I read.
Unless it's just Evolve.
Huh?
Yeah. Unless it's just Evolve and they're just like, yep, it's now all part of the NXT family.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's just,
I don't know how, I don't really know how I feel about it. Like, it's just like, and one more show. Like, if you really need another show, like, I think you're fine with what you have right now. Like, we already were seeing new talent come anyways into NXT. So why are we adding another show?
They're just trying to utilize anything they can right now to keep ratings high for wrestling, period. Whether it's a show about the Bellas or a show about the Miz, they're just trying to keep anything wrestling on high ratings. Because they, when COVID started, the ratings dropped so low that they got scared. Like, what are we gonna do? But at the end of the day, it was like, so people are so used to working, people are so used to not being home, people are so used to watching it online that they don't watch it on TV, and that's where the ratings come from.
So, but like, if you could do this show, like, how would you do it? Because I'm thinking like, it should be a developmental show where, like, I guess people who are training to become wrestlers, like, kind of like Tough Enough, but you still put them in the aspect of them having an actual match.
I mean, they do that now with, when new people. Not, I ain't gonna say new people, but like when you have somebody that they're trying to focus on, they have them fight a bunch of people that we don't even know, like a bunch of nobodies that don't even get entrance music. You know, they're already in the ring by the time the person they're trying to mainstream is coming out. So it's like they kind of already do that, but actually singling in on it as far as a TV show goes and putting the light on the person that nobody's actually paying attention to. I mean, it could help their career, but I don't think no one's really going to be interested in it as much as they think.
I mean, because I just think, like, you keep the Tough Enough feel. Oh, wait. I'm trying to think how it was. It's kind of like they did the first original NXT, how NXT originally was, season one and season two. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Lord.
I think that's originally what I'm thinking of is, like, but you... What I'm thinking is, it's like new people that want to become wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? I say all three of us wanted to become wrestlers. Yeah. We would go to NXT Evolve. We would go through the training camps. Like, they would show us through the training camps, and then they would show us work matches or whatever like that. And then eventually we get to the point where we would actually have a match that is televised for people to watch on TV, and you would have, I guess, judges judge your match and so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if they're already doing that now, because I don't really follow all of their shows. You know what I'm saying? I see little snippets of it on Twitter and things like that, but to actually make a show consistent of new people wanting to pursue their dreams and doing this. And just showing them, like, this is what people have to go through to get to this point.
I just think it's a whole waste of time, to be honest. I don't think it's going to get the ratings that they expect it to get if it's going to be like that. That's kind of like a Survivor for wrestling.
Well, that's what everybody's watching today.
My grandma watches Survivor.
Exactly. My point proven. Now you just add in the fact of wrestling and people getting to see, like, the back.
That's not point proven, because my grandma isn't somebody who would watch wrestling. So if you build a show like Survivor, but wrestling based, I don't even think wrestling fans are going to be into it, because not a lot of them really watch Survivor. I don't watch Survivor.
But you watched Tough Enough at one point, right?
No.
Well, then my point is valid. Anthony, Supervisor, I need your help, bro. I need your help. I need your thought.
I don't know, man. You can't go back to anything that's in the format of the first two seasons of NXT. Those things, that became a joke real quick. A Tough Enough show, I mean, I liked watching Tough Enough back in the day when it was on, but, I mean, obviously, because it keeps getting canceled, it doesn't do well.
They don't have good ratings.
So, obviously, nobody's watching that. So, I don't know. I think it's just going to be more an indie-like product just with the NXT name.
Okay, well... I'll leave that at that. All right, so now let's get to what everybody really want to hear us talk about is NXT Vengeance Day. First and foremost, I don't think they needed to call it Vengeance Day. They should have just called it Vengeance, NXT Vengeance. The day part was kind of the day part was a bit much. I know it's like just a three-letter word, but it sounded cornier and NXT Vengeance or NXT Takeover Vengeance.
Well, in the
idea
of the matches that they were having, I guess they were trying to just make it seem like, you know, the battles were, you know, people getting their vengeance. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's why they called it Vengeance Day. The Day of Vengeance. I don't know.
Just take a... Because Vengeance was originally a WWE pay-per-view a long time ago. They just added Day at the end. And just call it NXT Vengeance. That's it.
I mean, didn't really bother me
much. Yeah, I know. It's.
I didn't really think the name. I just was ready for the matches.
Still small things. But let's get into the matches. So we had the first one was the first ever NXT Women's Tag Team Dusty Challenge. Or is it called Dusty Challenge?
Dusty Cup.
Dusty's Cup. There you go. And you had Dakota Kai and... her partner, her name just slipped right in my head. Help me out.
Raquel.
Yes.
Gonzalez.
They went out there and put out a classic. That was a good match. I kind of felt that they were going to, Dakota Kaina was going to win. They had the power and like, they had the combination of both power and speed.
I honestly watching it, I was hoping that, what's her name? Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart was going to pull off a good one. I was hoping that they isolated, what's her name?
Raquel. Oh.
No, Dakota. Because Raquel's the power, like they can't get her, keep her down for nothing. But I thought they were gonna isolate her, especially when they started going after her knee. That they were just gonna like isolate her to the point to where she can't take it no more, and they were gonna win the match solely based off of pinning her. But every time I thought they had it, she kept kicking out. I was like, oh man, they're not gonna win. Like, but I give them their props. They did as far as the first women's Dusty Cup. They handled it. They did that. So I'm with it.
I felt like I honestly thought Shotzi and Ember was going to win as well, just because when they said that the winners were going to go and have a title match for the women's tag team titles,
right?
You think about like, all right, well, Shayna and Nia are the tag team champs. Why would you have Dakota and Raquel go against them? But looks like they're really trying to push Raquel, so. There you go. There's your winners.
And that's, you know, a little hint on why you should watch this week's show. Hello?
Is it just us?
I don't know. It still here. Shows I'm us.
Here. I'm sorry. Oh. Okay. What I was saying was like, I felt like that they should have. I mean, I'm cool with, you know, Raquel and Dakota winning, you know, but it's two heels going against each other. Now, Dakota and
right, which is another reason.
Yeah, Dakota and Raquel are going to be the faces because nobody really cares for Shayna or, you know, Nia Jax. So they're going to basically become the face of this whole thing. But, I don't know. I the match is cool. I thought it was a good match. Maybe it was too many. Match went on a little bit longer than it should have. Next.
I mean, they were trying to they were trying to fill space and kill time because they had a time frame that they had to fill, and they really didn't have that many matches.
No, which is fine. I mean, that's what I like about NXT. Like, you didn't have to have a long dragged out pay-per-view. Just, hey, whenever y'all finish. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's on national TV.
It was like, what, five matches or something?
Five matches. Like, it's not like you have to finish at a particular time. It's on, and it's a WWE network. Nobody cares. Whenever it's done, hey, we just watch it all over again. You're not really like on a time slot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
it's not like you're on USA or Fox. Pay-per-view
that you schedule the time from this time to this time. It doesn't matter. Like, it's on, it's on. When it goes off, it goes off. You can go back and watch it again. So, you know, you don't have to drag out matches or, you know, extend matches to make it longer. Just do what you got to do. If it's 15 minutes, it's 15 minutes. 10 minutes, 10 minutes. As long as it's good. Which would be the next match was going to be Johnny Gargano versus Kushida.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that match could have been better, to be honest.
What? That match was crazy. Yeah.
Reason why I say that is because I don't feel like they allowed Kushida to, you know, blossom like he can. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Kushida should have won that match. That's how I feel. Like, if Kushida, he should have won that match. Like, there's no way Gargano should have walked out still champion. That's just how I feel. That's why I say it should have been. It could have been better.
Well, you want to say it's better. You want it to be better because you wanted Kushida to win. Like, I thought it was a solid match. I mean, yeah, I wanted Kushida to win also. But I think the match itself was like on point, 5 stars. I can't knock that match.
It's not that I just wanted Kushida to win. I just feel like he's a way better wrestler than Johnny Gargano. I do. Gargano's good, but I think Kushida's better.
I mean, Kushida's like he worked good to me. Like I said, I didn't feel like he was held back or anything like that. Maybe you saw something that I did, but I felt like he went all out to, like, you know, like everybody wanted him to do. What do you think, Sue?
It was definitely probably, I think, the better match of the night. I am disappointed that Kushida didn't win. I really felt like he had all the momentum going for him going up to this. And I mean, not just like in the story or that really with this one, it was him and Johnny, but I mean, you know, him coming back from injury and then they were building him up, beating Velveteen, beating
just about everybody he fought up until
this point. So like he was on a tear. He was going strong. So I really thought going into this match, I mean, not to say that Kushida didn't like look strong, because he definitely had kept putting in that hoverboard lock. Like, he was going to rip Gargano's shoulder out of his socket. But I really thought Kushida was going to walk away with this one.
And I think the worst thing about it is the fact that Johnny won clean.
Yeah, because nobody was out there to help him cheat.
Right.
I think that's the biggest reason why he probably felt that way, is because if Johnny Gargano would have won by, you know, forces of unknown, then I'm like, okay, well, Kushida deserves a rematch. Like, after losing clean, Kushida does not deserve it.
Yeah. No, you can't make that argument. So do you think they move on from that to him and Dexter Lumis?
I mean, Dexter Lumis is probably going to start with, what's the name first? What's the dude's name in Kidman?
Oh, I know you're talking about. I mean, I just think all that is
Austin Theory.
Yeah, Austin Theory. There you go. He's probably going to start with him and work his way up to Gargano, because, you know, Gargano is going to be scared anyway. So he's going to try to push him off and pawn it off on Theory until he can't do it no more.
I agree with that. What I would have done was had them had a match at Vengeance Day, so that way you had an excuse for why neither Theory nor Lumis interfered in the Gargano Kushida match.
Right. I mean, but kidnapping him worked too, so.
And then after that, after he handily defeats Theory, then that kind of sets up the, all right, now I'm going after you.
Because she doesn't have a case to be he doesn't get a case to be in a rematch. So, like, you lost, and with all that momentum, like you guys said earlier, all that momentum, and you go and you lose clean.
Right.
Like, I understand you wanted the better man won, but, like, both times you lose like that, you don't get in a rematch. Oh, like, you start from the bottom.
Right. Now, I don't think it will take much for him to regain that momentum, because it is just one loss. All right.
Yeah.
You know, if he gets another, like, month or two of just good, clean wins, good, strong, clean wins, he'll be back in that picture. It's just, you can't.
But then he might be back in that picture sooner than later with the amount of people they actually have going after the title. You got Cameron Grimes that just came back. Right. You got Bronson Reed who was looking at the belt. You got what's the Swerve. You know what I'm saying? So you have a few people already that were like, they're like, I'm in line, I'm ready. So who's to say Kushida's not going to be still in that mist of I'm still want the belt. Right. So
why not? And then the more challengers, the better. The more challengers, the better. That's the problem, I think, with the main roster. There isn't that many challengers for the top titles.
Right. And that's a whole nother topic right now, okay?
I mean, you forgot my boy Tommaso Ciampa. Now, as much as I don't want to see Gargano go against Ciampa again.
No, it's not that. It's just you really haven't seen him talking about going after the belt again. I mean, he might go after it once Gargano loses it, but I don't think it's really on his plan to jump back into that.
I mean, that or they don't really have plans for him to get back in the title picture. They're just doing stuff with. I mean, I do see him in line for a title shot against Gargano for the North American title. That's the one belt he has not won. Mm-hmm. So I do see him as somewhere sooner than later, he'll be fighting for the North American title, whether Gargano has it or doesn't have it. But, that's just my opinion on that. But moving on to the next match, we have the MSK versus the Wild Veterans. Grizzle. Yeah,
Grizzle Young Veteran.
Where did MSK come from? Okay, so like they just came out of nowhere with this opportunity to enter the Dusty Cup, and they ran through this thing like they've been in NXT for the last 6 years. Like, where did they come from? Where'd they find them? Like, who are these guys? Because that, honestly, once they entered, I was like, okay, new guys showing off a little bit, they're going to be the ones to win, only because they are the new guys. Unfortunately, I was hoping that it was going to be MSK versus Ciampa and
Thatcher.
Thatcher, yeah. I thought that would have been a really, really good match, but I just feel like Thatcher and Ciampa, like, they weren't Thatcher and Ciampa in their last match. I don't know what it is. It didn't seem right to me. Like, they were just, like, giving up or something. I don't know, but I was very disappointed in their last match. I was like, come on, man. But I really thought it was going to be them four going for the title at the end. But Grizzle Young Veterans, they did a really good job. That match was really good. It was really hard hitting, really, you know what I'm saying? They gave MSK a run for their money. I can tell you that much.
I mean, they usually use the Dusty Cup as a way to either introduce a new talent or push something that they really want to push. I mean, if you look at the past, the first Dusty Cup, that's how we got Gargano and Ciampa, honestly. Yeah. You know, it was those two coming in, and they weren't even really under contract at that time. They just needed more people to put into that damn tournament.
They were explaining that a lot of awkward teams that have been thrown together have won the Dusty
Cup. But as far as MSK goes, I mean, you know, you can tell that these guys are good together. They have very good chemistry. You know, they're very seamless in what they're doing. I believe they came from Impact.
I know at least one of them did.
Yeah. So I know they came from Impact. But yeah, I think they seem to be very charismatic. They seem to be very talented. I think I want to see them in an actual program with an actual story and see how that gets played out.
Yeah.
But and I know watching the grizzled young veterans from, you know, NXT UK and last year's Dusty Cup, like, I know these guys are just they're just waiting for their breakout opportunity because they're just some mean, hard hitting tag team that is ready to just really make an impact if, you know, we can get a good tag team division off the ground somewhere.
Mm-hmm. They have a whole lot of potential to eventually be tag team champions one day. They just gotta stop all that talking and just shut up.
I like the match. Now, Nash Carter, I believe, is the I want to say Nash Carter was either the black kid. I think that. No, okay, Wesley, I'm sorry, then Wesley. In every tag team, you have somebody that's actually the breakout star, like this the guy that's going to be more than what it is. Nash Carter, I don't really see that. Not right now. Yeah. But Wesley, he has it. Like, Wesley looks like he should be in the Cruiserweight division. Fighting for the NXT Cruiserweight title right now. He should not be. It's cool that he's in the tag team right now because that's where they fit him in at, but he needs to be a solo star.
I think they put them in the tag team because before, I think it was, you know how they sit them in a dark room and put the camera on them and ask them, have them answer some questions and stuff or just talk or whatever. I don't know. Is he white? Is he light skinned? I don't know. But that one, he's like the jokester. He's like the one that he's not really going to talk to you straight up. He's just going to clown. He's going to play. He's going to, you know, make you laugh. The other one, on the other hand, he's the straightforward one. Seems like the one that's been doing all the talking. Like, he already got his feet planted. Like, he already know where he's going. So I think that's why they put them together, so one can learn from the other and they can have that one break out and end up being a solo artist one day. But right now, I think they only paired them two together if they haven't been paired together before because of the weakness of one is helping the other one become
that strong. Looks to me as somebody being held back. Like, if this dude is a breakout star, then, like, you need to let him shine, bro. Like, he needs to be in the Cruiserweight division because I don't know where the Cruiserweight division is going and what it looks like. But if you need somebody to make the Cruiserweight division worth watching, it would be Wesley. Like, the dude's super athletic. And, like, a lot of the moves that he did, God, I can't remember all of them at the top of my head, but he did so many moves in that match, bro. Like, him diving over the turnbuckle post to do it, you know, a swanton. You know, you don't see most people grab, at least touch the top of the post before they flip themselves over. He didn't touch nothing. Yeah, he cleared it all. Like, that amazing. You know what I'm saying? But that to have that kind of ability to do that and you're in the tag team division, like, dog, they're holding you back, son. Like, you know what I mean? And he probably don't see it that way, but, like, that's what I see. Like, yo, this dude definitely does not need to be in the tag. I'm happy. I personally wanted the veterans to win because you would see the veterans go against the tag team division now, which would be a hard-hitting match. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's the story that the MSK have, you know, the brotherhood story and so on and so forth, and they'll probably get to the tag team titles and lose. But, you know, just because they're not veterans or they're not seasoned enough, but they're, you know, it's a pressured match. Most times people crack under pressure like that. So, you know, but it's always a possibility they could win it and they build from there. But
didn't the tag team champions win the belts from, well, not from, but fighting, who they fight? It wasn't, was it the Grizzled Young Veterans? It wasn't them. They were supposed to fight, what's the name? Undisputed, but then they kept getting injured and dude got scared. So he told the tag team champions right now to go ahead and take the match.
It was Imperium.
And they ended up winning. Okay, that's who it was. Imperium. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I knew something was going on with that. So I was like, yeah, let me ask, because I remember them getting injured and all that stuff. But y'all need to watch NXT from Wednesday. Okay.
So let's get into the next match. Io Shirai retains her title against Toni Storm and I keep forgetting this lady's name. Martinez. Mercedes Martinez.
I was expecting that because I don't see no reason to take it from Io yet. Good match, though.
If there was anybody I wanted to see take it off Io, it was Mercedes Martinez.
Really? I thought you was going to say Toni Storm.
No, okay, why I would have said Mercedes. I mean, just, I don't know. For me, Io is a monster in her own right, but Mercedes is an even bigger monster. The two women that I think that will help kind of really change the tone of the women's division and any of the brands would be Mercedes Martinez and Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley,
because
that's what
you need a hulking type of monster in those divisions, and right now they don't.
Rhea Ripley's out the door.
I mean, the match them two had her out for a while was really.
Rhea's going to the main roster. So, like, the next smoking person that you got after Rhea would be Raquel.
I'm going to be honest. I thought she was going to go when she showed up in the Rumble. I thought she was going to be on the main roster after that. But then, next show she was still on NXT. And I'm just like,
right,
okay. Maybe not.
You know, and then you see Damian Priest later that night, and he stayed on the roster. So, yeah, I'm right there, too. I thought Rhea was going to be on one of the shows.
At least take one dude, one chick. You know what I'm saying? Not just, you know, but, hey, I guess. Let's see what Damian Priest can do.
I was rooting for Toni Storm. I wasn't rooting for Toni Storm, but I would have been okay if Toni Storm won.
I mean, with her trying to be a heel, I just don't think she's not being mean enough, if that makes any sense. You got the wrestling ability, but to actually be a heel and have a mean streak to where you can take somebody's belt, especially from somebody like Io Shirai, you gotta come harder. Like, you definitely have to come 10 times harder than what your normal is. And I just don't know if Toni...
I can see that. Ready to I do can that. See that. I mean, good. Like I said, awesome match. It still is a great match. You know, what's the name? Mercedes knee when she did that moonsault.
I like watching Toni fight though. She's good, and the match in general was just like awesome. Like originally going into it, I thought that Mercedes and Toni were going to not really team up, but find a way to take Io out of her own qualification of keeping her belt, try to injure her, try to, you know, basically keep her out the match as much as possible so it can be basically between them two. And when it didn't happen that way, I can't say I wasn't surprised because I've watched a lot of Io's matches and I've seen her overcome a lot of obstacles and odds. So it was kind of like you expected her to not, you know, fall into that trap. So when she won, I definitely was not.
So who do you have? Who do you have eventually taking the title from her, and when?
Yeah. That's a hard question now.
Based off the roster. What's the chick that just came back?
When they've been introduced to do the promos chick. And stuff like that, dumping their head and bopping for apples and water.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
No. One that just came back. She ended up on some weird training thing and came back like really mean.
Oh, Zaya Lee. That's when I was bobbing for apples when the guy was, you know, screaming at her to go down in the water and hold your breath and so on and so forth. That's her. I was being funny.
Oh, okay, yeah, but there wasn't apples actually involved.
No, I think you did a good job ruining yourself.
I was like, Boba Fett? No. But yeah, so I think that they're building her up to eventually go after the belt. Hopefully, if they do, I think that'll be a really good match. I don't know whether or not she'll actually be able to take it from EO, but I think it'll be a really hard-hitting match.
Okay. That's what I was thinking in the back of my mind, but I feel like it's kind of too soon because you're still pushing her, and like it feels like that Kushida feel, like she'll go undefeated for a little bit, then she'll run into EO and then possibly lose or win. I mean, she could possibly lose, and then all the momentum you build like goes out the window now because you made her to be some unbeatable, unstoppable force, and then she runs into EO and she loses. Okay, like what now? You know.
Right. But given the storyline they're giving her, you know, she can't lose with that person, whoever sits at the top of the ramp, you know what I'm saying? Watching over her. It's like you can't lose. So given that storyline. Right. So it's like you have a storyline where it's like, okay, so the whole point is to make you undefeated. Okay, I get that. And then you're gonna go after the belt. But I think that's where the undefeated streak ends, to be honest. She's not Asuka. She ain't going to go that long.
Nah, let's get into this main event here. We got Finn Balor retaining his title against Pete Dunne. This was another five-star match.
Yes. I think this one took the cake. Like, watching this one, I'm gonna be honest, I was driving and I was sitting on the edge of my seat, you know, looking, watching out my peripheral, like just like shocked and awe, like every move, every flip, everything, because I've been waiting and wanting to see Pete Dunne and Finn Balor go at it for a really long time. So now to actually watch it, I was
the fact
like,
that you're oh, driving and really watching wrestling scares
really
me.
Good. I don't think
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, and I was on I-4 too. But like I said, I'm not really like focused on it. I'm focused on the road, but I can hear it and see it out my peripheral. So it's like, okay, I can get the gist of it by, you know, that. But at the same time, it's just like that's one match that I've been waiting for a really long time. So I didn't want to miss it because I had to drive home. You know what I mean? So I had to have it on. I just had to. I wasn't really shocked or surprised that Finn Balor kept his belt, but I really did think Pete Dunne was going to take it.
I had no doubts that Finn was going to retain the belt. But I did like how Pete Dunne worked on his arm, you know, and it took Finn to like double stump his way to a victory. It was brutal. Like the part when he snapped Finn's fingers, when he finally got a grip and he snapped the fingers, like he did it twice. I'm like, my God.
Yeah.
I'm on the treadmill watching this match, and I know people can probably hear me. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this it's crazy just watching all this go down. You know what I'm saying? And like, me personally, the match I want to see Pete Dunne actually have is against Daniel Bryan. Give me Pete Dunne versus Daniel Bryan because they both can work the body parts like nobody else. I think that match would be completely
efficient
match. It can't be a pin. It can't be win by pinfall. You got to give me something like a Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle type style match. You know what I'm saying? Like Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit had great matches back in the day.
Yeah,
and I think if you can get Daniel Bryan and Pete Dunne to go out there and put on something as similar or as good, I think it'd be better because they're way more athletic. I think it would be better because of that, and plus they know way more submissions. That'd be hands down like a candidate for match of the year. You know what I'm saying? But like, but this match itself, it was a solid match. You know what I'm saying? It was one of the good. All the matches were good. But if I had to pick like an order of which one I like, I'm gonna go with Kushida, then I'm gonna go with this one, and then everything goes after that. But this was a close one. This was a close one.
I can see that.
I like this one the most, mainly because, like I said, it's something I've been waiting for a while. So maybe that's why I'm a little biased against this being the best match of the night. But at the same time,
I mean, well, your opinion matters. It's just my opinion. You know, that's why you are. So, you know, just.
Like the end of that match, Finn Balor's fingers, like you could see him, like his hand is like.
It should have looked like
he was just like.
You know, when they cut the character to get their hands stuck in something, and then they pull him out, and it's like looking like freaking accordions going back and forth. That's what it should have looked like. But, you know, realistically, it's not going to look like that. But.
Right. I mean, it didn't look exactly like that, but the way he was holding his hand. You ever watch Scary Movie and the guy was like, grab my strong hand. It kind of looked
like that. Interesting picture that's in my head now. You know, grab my strong hand. Okay, I can't. Now it's stuck in my head.
But I it was a really good match. Soup, I can't. Got, I mean, man. Y'all need to watch NXT, man. Y'all need to. If y'all need to watch that before y'all go to bed, watch that tonight.
They went in there to beat the hell out of each other. That was the only thing they had on their mind. Yeah. They wanted to hurt each other. And I'm not even talking about in like kayfabe sense. I'm talking about for real. They looked like they were ready to just kill each other.
Right. And the thing that shocked me is that Kyle O'Reilly. Match that Finn Balor had with
Kyle O'Reilly.
What's his name? Yeah. Seem to be a little bit more hard-hitting, like physically hard-hitting, than this match. And the only reason why I say that is because both times Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly fought, somebody was bleeding. Both of them got injured. You know what I'm saying? There was like proof. Like, this match was great, but with it being Pete Dunne and Finn Balor, like, you would expect there to be at least somebody's lip bleeding or, you know, a scratch of somebody's arm or something. Like, They're both two hard-hitting wrestlers that, like you said, do a lot of moves, do a lot of submission moves. But at the same time, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
He was being respectful enough. Right? Like, I'm not going to go after the dude, y'all. Like, we all still don't think it's completely 100%. You know what I'm saying? And the last thing you wanted to do to be out again. So I think he just made it in his mind. Like, I'm just going to stick to this. Like, I'm sticking to what I'm good at. If he would have went for that, y'all, he probably would have been lights out.
Right. Also, yeah. You probably would think exactly. He probably would also be in trouble before going to the court job.
Yeah. He was out for like almost a month.
Because Finn was already out.
He went like two pay-per-view, like a pay-per-view and a half, without being on TV. So, like, he was gone for a minute. So, yeah.
And that was strange to me because with him being a champion, you know. I mean, it's not strange because obviously he was injured, but most times when people get injured, I guess because they were like, oh, he's only going to be out a month. We'll let him keep the belt. Normally they take it in and have matches for somebody to gain. And then when that person comes back, they can win it back if they want. But they didn't do that with Finn.
Well, I think that's even why they had him come back to talk about like the cat Spock and all that. Because they just needed to put him on TV. So to say like, oh yeah, he's back within a month. So we don't have to worry about that random rule we made up.
Right. Yeah, you be calling WWE like, you know, out so much.
They put themselves in these positions.
I mean, the ending after that with Adam Cole turning on Finn and Undisputed.
Yo, I was in my car like, no way. Like, are you serious? Like, I never thought that was going to happen.
I saw it coming.
I never thought the UED was going to turn on each other.
The way he was positioned, he was not like he was going to lock his lights up. Like,
I would have expected that to happen.
But when he kicked it, like, I can expect him to kick Finn Balor. But when he kicked his own boy, I was like, oh, my God. Like, that didn't just happen, did it? Like, that when I got home, I had to rewind and replay that just to make sure that I heard what I heard when they said that he kicked Kyle O'Reilly. I was like, oh yeah, like, my God.
But I didn't I didn't expect way. The group to break up like this. And I really wish they wouldn't have, I wish they wouldn't have broken up like this.
Mm-mm. I figured something was gonna happen when Bobby fourth guy, he's been out for like what, 2 months now?
I think. Yeah, about.
So once he left, I was like, nah, they this got to be breaking down, especially when they stopped the beef between them and Pat McAfee. When that beef stopped, it's like, okay, so they were going to break him up, but I didn't think they were going to break him up with a beef. Like, I didn't think they were going to break him up with them turning on each other. Like, I just thought they were, you know, all going to high five and say, we're going to go our separate ways. Y'all been the dominant tag team in NXT for, like, ever. Like, are you serious?
I know, like, they were talking about them breaking up around that time at the end of the McAfee feud. And then it didn't happen. So, you know, but there was a lot of talks around that time that it was going to be, like, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole were going to be the faces. And then Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong were going to be the heels.
But I guess when Bobby Fish disappeared, they had to revamp it and make the other two faces and Cole.
Man, they could have just did a match where
that's what they did.
Pat McAfee and his group versus Undisputed Era and whoever loses, the group has to split up. Obviously, Pat McAfee hasn't had his group long enough to split them up, but it would have been okay because you split that group up, and then Pat McAfee can go his own way, and everybody else can go their own way and do their own thing. But Undisputed Era splitting up, they all have to go separate ways. You know, where Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly can go back to the tag team division if they choose to. Right. Roddy can go running for the North America or actually winning the World Heavyweight title. Right. Or at the Rumble, you bring them all in and then you split them in half. And you send them on the main roster shows.
Yeah. I really thought that Pete Dunne was going to go his own separate way after the battle between the four of them, only because, you know, he's not the really, you know, he's not a team-like guy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, he's a solo artist. He does his best work by himself. So I really did think that he was going to go his own separate way, especially with the way that the other two, like, act. They're kind of like they're – personalities clash to me. It's just like, why are y'all even like friends right now? But at the same time, it's just like, this is the most Pete Dunne has ever spoke. Like, even when he was partnered up with what's his name with the flip-flops, Matt Riddle, like he didn't talk that much. He just like looked at Matt Riddle like, you was one dumb son of a, you know what I'm saying, and just went out there to fight. Like, is a new Pete Dunne, I guess you could say, with the same moves. He's more talkative. He's more out there. But at the same time, I really did think he was going to separate himself from those two, especially when it came to going after the belt, because
I think don't need no help. Just with the group, with everything going on, there's different ways of splitting the groups up and them losing a match. Like, honestly, they were losing to Pat McAfee and the groups having to split. Would have been fine, because then you can put them in the Rumble and then you can move them where you want to. Mm-hmm. How cool would it have been for, like, Adam Cole to show up on Raw and super kick Drew McIntyre? You know what I'm saying? He's essentially cutting in front of the line in front of everybody else to go against Drew McIntyre.
I mean,
whether he wins or loses, you know, you need to show, like, okay, there is firepower on the main roster, on the Raw roster. I don't think there's not enough firepower on the main roster enough to make me feel like Drew has gone against the best of the best. You know what I'm saying? Outside of AJ Styles, you know, there really isn't anybody else. That's why they brought Goldberg back. So, you know, that's the problem. They don't have enough firepower, and I think Cole would have been a great initial bullet to help. I mean, they got Keith Lee and, you know, Bobby Lashley, but they're not using them, you know what I'm saying? for whatever reason why. But Cole would have actually.
Right. Well, Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley are going to fight this next coming pay per view, aren't they?
Wiki.
Yeah. He had the match with Matt Riddle, and whoever won that match was supposed to get a title opportunity from what's the name last week? From Lashley. And then Lashley came out and attacked Keith Lee and Matt Riddle.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, they made it. Well, we definitely got to
check out. I mean, get back on our horse and start watching these shows again. But I want to thank you guys for listening. We have went way over our time limit, but it's been a minute since we've been on a show and talk wrestling. So I want to thank you guys again for coming on. Thank you, Phoenix. Thank you, Supervisor. And I want to thank all the listeners for continuing to support us. Despite the hiatus we went on, you can still follow us on our Twitter account. You can still follow us on Instagram. Continue to support the show. Let your friends know that it's